Welcome to the Camp House Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Busby, and this is our special series focused on local elections for 2018. Over the summer, we bring you interviews featuring candidates running for local offices of County Mayor, County Commission, and Hamilton County School Board. In the end, we hope you are more connected and informed about the men and women hoping to receive your vote in August. Today, we bring you two interviews with candidates running for Hamilton County School Board in District 6, Jenny Hill and Michael Henry. Currently, District 6 is represented by Mr. Joe Galloway, who is not seeking re-election this year. Geographically, District 6 includes the communities of St. Elmo, Lookout Mountain, Lookout Valley, Alton Park, downtown Chattanooga, North Shore, Moccasin Bend, and a small portion of Red Bank. And now I give you our interview with Jenny Hill, candidate for Hamilton County School Board, District 6. Well, Jenny, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
My guest today is Jenny Hill. She is running for school board representative for District 6. And, you know, as we go through this election series of introducing the community to people running for county commission, county mayor, and Hamilton County School Board, again, this is an opportunity for you, for the public, to really get to know these candidates. And so today we're joined by Jenny. And, you know, I really like to start out these podcasts by just asking the candidates to talk about themselves. Tell us about you.
So my name is Jenny Hill. I moved to Chattanooga when I was in the second grade. My dad is a DuPont engineer, and so we moved around some, and we landed here and fell in love with Chattanooga and stayed. I am a mom of two children who attend Hamilton County Schools. My daughter is headed into the ninth grade, and my son is headed into the fifth grade. My husband, Jason, and I have been married for 18 years, and we own our own business. It's called Papercut Interactive. It's a 17-year-old website development and digital marketing company located
17 years. That's early days.
It is early days. We've probably seen easily 40, if not 50 years worth of change within our industry in those 17 years. And we've had the wonderful privilege to work with some of the South's best known and loved brands, including Rock City, Ruby Falls, Aztec, Road Tech, a lot of clients that are really important to the economies of Hamilton County. So those two things are part of why I decided to run, my work and my family. I'm also very active in our community. I'm a graduate of Leadership Chattanooga. And before I got onto the ballot, I was for 2 years the Vice President of Programming for the Chattanooga Chamber of Commerce North Shore Council, where actually I learned quite a bit about education and bringing in some education speakers over the years. Also, I have a heart for poverty alleviation, and I am the board chair at Metropolitan Ministries, also known as MetMen, here in Chattanooga, where we serve our community with frontline homelessness prevention resources. We pay power bills, we pay water bills, rent, things that if not paid would put a family in danger of immediate homelessness.
Well, just hearing your background, I can begin to understand why you're running for public office. But I just want to push you down the road a little bit further. What was the spark maybe that made you decide now's the time to run for something like school board?
Okay. Well, I'll tell your listeners a story that I don't share at every public forum, but I have a feeling that the folks that tune in to this podcast have some shared concerns with me. Back in 2008, when my children were, 10 years younger than they are now, some children in Chattanooga, middle school-aged students, were shot at getting off the school bus. Yeah, it gives me chills right now to think about it. And at that point in my life, my children were very young, and I don't know about other new parents out there, but I was still in that bleary-eyed, can we just get everybody to eat their dinner? Can we get people to where they need to be and maybe get out of diapers? You know, this is where my brain was, very focused on my family. But when I read that article, something in me clicked, and I thought, what are those moms going through? No mother should ever have to worry about their middle schooler being shot at by someone getting while they're getting off the school bus. And when I learned more about that story, I learned that the children doing the shooting were in fact children. They were very young high schoolers. And Matt, that put me on a path. My Christian faith is a huge part of my life. And I needed to figure out where I fit in that, because in my Sunday school class, there had been a lot of talk over the years about, well, you know, if somebody stops you and they ask you for money, what do? You know, a lot of just generalizing of poverty. And I wasn't okay with that. I wanted to learn more.
Well,
I mean, just thinking that if you're that's the only way you can help, or I'm using air quotes now, everybody, that you can help a poor person is to give them change on the sidewalk. And I thought, this is too shallow a description. Where do I, Jenny Hill, fit in this? This is a longer story than you were expecting.
No, this is great.
So I started down this path of learning. And I mentioned to you that I'm now the board chair at Metropolitan Ministries. I wanted to learn more about poverty because I realized that the families that were affected in this shooting directly all lived in a low-income neighborhood here in Chattanooga. And I thought, no mother should ever have to worry about that. I can't fathom carrying that fear in my heart for my own children. Ultimately, I landed at MetMen and began to see the complexity of poverty in our community. I began to see the reality of the disparities of income. Just today I was reading in the paper that, you know, sure, we have low unemployment here in Chattanooga, and yet I see that our line at MetMen gets longer every year. So we have people who are employed. They are working, but they are not making living wages, and they are working multiple jobs. We have people on the fringes and in less stable situations now than a decade ago. So fast forward just a little bit. At MetMen, we talk about the fact that you matter.
It's the slogan, right?
It's the slogan. And I internalize that. And I have taught my children, every person matters. And the dots that I have connected over the years are that the one way you really can get out of generational poverty is education. And in learning more about education, my children obviously are in school. They are in public school, and not all of our elected leaders choose to send their children to our schools, and I think that's a shame. I see on a daily basis the struggles and the successes that our students and teachers face. In learning more about our system overall and knowing that 15% of our graduates are considered college ready based on their ACT, and that's college or career ready. Also that what we've got 43% of our third graders reading on grade level in third grade. So we've got that canary in the coal mine way back in third grade. And even before that, you know, in District 6, we've got Brown Academy, where the day that I went and toured and got to know the staff there, that week they had enrolled 6 children from the McClellan Homeless Shelter. If that were testing that next week, those children and those teachers are in no position to be able to be prepared to represent themselves in the best way. So, long story to the fact that I believe that every child in Hamilton County, regardless of their zip code, regardless of their income, regardless of their race, or their language or their learning differences, deserves nothing less than the best that our community can give to them. We are a highly innovative community. We are smart people. But I will say that our innovation district, our waterfront, our booming economy, all adds up to nothing if our children cannot read and our graduates are not ready to flourish as adults. So Matt, that is the really long story as to why I'm running for school board.
No, that was fantastic, and I think listeners across the board will appreciate hearing those. They all appreciate hearing those sort of stories, and I think that's just so important for us to understand how our elected officials got into the roles there are, what their motivations were for doing it. Because ultimately, it helps humanize each other, and we can understand each other better. So, you know, I do want to start out with this really basic question that I'm asking everybody running for school board is, you know, what is the role of the school board in serving our public education system?
That's a great question, because I think different people running for school board have different concepts of that. The constitutional legal requirement for a school board member is to serve as the fiscal overseer of the school board and to manage the superintendent. That is your job. It's not intended to be a full-time position. It is a part-time service that you do for the community to make sure that our taxpayer dollars are being spent well, and that our policies are appropriate and in line with the law, and that our superintendent is meeting the goals that the school board sets for the superintendent. That is the job of a school board member. There are some other ancillary parts of school board responsibilities that I think are exciting that in the last decade, I'd say, have been allowed to wither on the vine. One of those is the responsibility and or opportunity that our school board has to lobby at the, and lobby may not be the appropriate word, but to advocate at the state level and even at the federal level for legislation that is in the best interest of students.
Yeah.
When I was in Leadership Chattanooga, we spent a great deal of time focused on the state of education in Hamilton County, because it was during the time that the Chamber of Commerce had released the 2.0 report. And when we were in Nashville and meeting the delegation, and then to see the way that our Hamilton County delegation to the state has significant impact on the way that education is legislated in our state and in our county, then our county mayor and our county commissioners, the way that they work or don't work with our school board. You know, you have this three-tiered system, if you take federal out, that really needs a lot of work. We need a functional, positive relationship with all of our elected leaders in Hamilton County, and we need to be working toward the same goals. So I have talked some about the fact that we need a new strategic plan in Hamilton County. Yes, we have a strategic plan. We need a new strategic plan that includes those elected leaders' input, that includes community input. And Dr. Johnson has already done a lot of the community input work. He has spent significant amount of time in our public schools. As a parent, I have been blown away by the fact that he's been at my children's school. And as a business leader, I have been impressed that I have seen him speak and been in public meetings multiple times, which we didn't see in years past.
Yeah.
With our previous superintendent. So we need the input from all of those stakeholders in the strategic plan that the school system owns, right? Not that another community organization owns, but that the school system owns, that we yield these common goals, the vision that we can then work toward. So the other piece about what the job of a school board member is, and honestly, this was one of a checklist of things that sealed the deal for me, because deciding to run for school board was a huge decision, was when I read the ethics policy of the school board. Is that the nerdiest thing you've ever heard?
The fact that any policy would actually drive you to run is generally a good thing. But yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Matt, what the number one ethical responsibility of a school board member is. It is to put the student first.
Yeah.
And do what is best for students. That right now gives me chills. The second ethical responsibility of a school board member is to make sure that every child has every opportunity, regardless of their race, their zip code, their income, their religion, their country of origin, their language spoken, their learning differences, all of it. Those two things matter. And what I don't hear a lot of times when people in our community talk about our schools is our kids and is the students in those schools. So another much longer answer than you were looking for what's the job of the school board? Because then I could get into the culture of our schools. You mentioned earlier, you know, the positive perception of our schools.
Right.
And that trickles into our schools. So lots to say. Ask me another question, Matt. I'm full of it.
Well, you did mention in that you did mention stakeholders, and we're talking about community members. And so, you know, as you've been sort of canvassing and campaigning in District 6, you know, what are you hearing from constituents when it comes to public education? You know, what are their concerns? What are their hopes? What are people telling you?
Well, District 6 is an incredibly diverse district. We have some neighborhood specific issues, and then we have some district and I would say countywide issues. The countywide issue that I hear from people across District 6 that aligns with just the reality of Hamilton County schools is a fear that we are not preparing our graduates for what's next. Mm-hmm. That they know that our children are not graduating with the skill set that they need to head into a successful college environment, that they're not right now being nurtured to think about post-secondary opportunities. And what the public doesn't necessarily always, you know, say to me, but I know as a person that's done my homework, is that by 2025, 55% of jobs are going to require some kind of post-secondary credential. That's require. The job will require. Right now, I would estimate that 80% of a living wage paying job is going to, it already requires some kind of post-secondary. So that's the number one that I hear. People are looking at the long term and they're saying, we don't have the skilled professionals that we need in Hamilton County. And that ties back to how our schools are preparing our children. Within the neighborhoods themselves, we do have concerns about facilities in District 6. We have multiple facilities that have significant structural issues. You know, at Lookout Valley, we have portables. Y'all, I'm going to air quote again in here at the recording. We have portables that are more than 40 years old. Portables cannot be secured in the event of a lockdown.
Yeah.
They are inherently unsafe. They are also temporary buildings. A 40-year-old temporary building is questionable to me. We have ceilings and roofs rotting across our entire district. You know, in North Chattanooga, the Normal Park community is immensely proud of their school. The parents are highly involved in their school, and they have raised money to tackle some of these facilities issues. And they question, why do we have to pay for this out of our own pockets as taxpayers when in other parts of the county gyms are being built, you know, buildings are being maintained better? I actually had the saddest experience out canvassing on Monday night. I was on a street in Red Bank, and a woman came to the door, and I said, you know, hi, I'm Jenny Hill. I'm running for school board. Do you have any concerns about public education you'd like to share with me? And she stepped outside and shut the door, and she said, well, I'm homeschooling my daughter now. She is 7, and she can do long division and multiplication. She's reading the King James Bible on her own. And at the elementary school for which she was zoned, they would not accelerate her curriculum. They offered her 1 hour a week of gifted, and they would not allow her to move from first grade into third grade, or even to second grade. And, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, we have a zoned high school here in District 6 that my heart as a parent was broken, and my frustration as a taxpayer and as a business owner was rankled when I saw bar charts on the walls saying Yellow Jackets for the win, with a bar chart of how many students in this school were passing all their classes with a 70.
Oh, wow.
So where I get back to, Matt, is expectations. And there is a significant discontent in District 6 about the expectations for students in our schools.
Yeah.
We have got to elevate them. And that rigor and that perception of rigor is one of the things that causes friction in families when they think about our public schools and whether they're going to choose to invest their child's time in those schools.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's very clear as you've been getting out into District 6, into the community, and really asking asking hard questions and listening to some of these answers that have been painful at times. But, you know, you've been in Hamilton County for a long time now, and your kids have been in the system long enough. You know, when you reflect on maybe just the past 5 years of public education in Hamilton County, there'll be two parts to this. But the first part is, you know, what is something we've done that our public education system has been really poor at? What's been one of the weaknesses of the system over the past 5 years?
Leadership. We have struggled with our top level leadership in our school system, and it has left behind a trail of problems that go malignantly into all of our schools. And I would flip that and say, what's something that's
really
great?
Well, that
really
is the next question. What's been the strength over the past year, yeah. 5 years? What's something we've done really well as a system?
Mm-hmm. I was very happy as a taxpayer when our school system decided to have an outside search firm look for a superintendent candidates. I have been very pleased as a parent and as a citizen with the assertive stance that Dr. Johnson has made about closing the opportunity gap. As a taxpayer and business person, I have been thrilled at the creative, fresh ways that he has looked at the funding that the school system has. It was interesting to look back at previous school board debates, because we had one last night, and so I watched the one from before, and the candidates that are no longer on the school board, the way that they spoke about money was in a very hopeless way. And the reality is that for so many years our school system has chosen to use the money provided by the county commission in ways that the county commission implies are not in good faith with why they gave them the funding. Our District 6 Commissioner Joe Graham has spoken specifically to that, about some funding for given programs, and then the second year it didn't go to that program anymore. I don't know all the ins and outs of that, obviously, as a citizen right now, not as someone actually on the school board, but Dr. Johnson is moving the system toward a more transparent budgeting process. He is being very thoughtful about where he is investing or recommending that the money be invested. And I honestly have been encouraged by the way our school board has been working together over the last 2 years. They're becoming more forward thinking as a group, and it is a board that I would be proud to serve on and alongside the other school board members.
Well, you know, earlier you referenced Chattanooga 2.0, and you know, over the past couple of years, public education has certainly been a focus of our community. And in that 2 year span, we've had the creation of Chattanooga 2.0, we've had the creation of Unify Ed. You know, what do you see as the role of these sort of organizations within the realm of public education? And as a potential school board member, what does that relationship look like? Like, how should you work with those sort of organizations?
So I mentioned earlier, we have a lot of really smart people in Hamilton County, creative thinkers. And to me, it's one of the things that makes me love Chattanooga. You mentioned 2.0 and Unify Ed. We have the Public Education Foundation also. United Way does a great deal in our schools. McClellan Foundation funds the Brainerd East Chattanooga Initiative, which is intensive supports in the East Chattanooga footprint. Benwood Foundation has long been invested in our schools, and those are just the ones that I can think of off the top of my head. I think that our schools need all the positive support that they can get. And it's not just from organizations like those nonprofits we've listed, but also from churches, from community groups, from our business community. And what we need to figure out as a system, what Dr. Johnson needs to figure out with hopefully the blessing of the school board, is how you encourage those groups to help without hurting, to be impactful in a way that aligns with the laws and the requirements that our schools have to follow, and gives all of those groups a way to interact that will be positively impactful for the students. Obviously, the control comes at the school system level with who can get in and out of a school. I've actually spoken with multiple members of the business community just in the work that I do. Just yesterday, I was in a conference room with a heavy construction, a road paving company. They may very well be building this huge road interchange that will change the shape of Hamilton County. And they said, you know, for years, we have tried to get some kind of partnership with Hamilton County, and it has been a dead end. So now we're working with Walker County. Now, not every partnership is the right partnership. You've got to be really thoughtful about that. But if somebody comes to Hamilton County Schools with a true intent to help our students, we would be foolish not to hear them out.
Well, over the last couple months, there's been a lot of discussion about equity within our schools. Do you see equity as an issue within our public education system?
Equity is undoubtedly an issue in our public education system.
In that case, what is the role of the school board in addressing issues of equity within our school system?
Well, first, the role of the school board is to remember that ethical commitment, that you make a decision that's in the best interest of the child, and that you make the decision that's in the best interest of every child. I believe that for me as a school board member, to come in with the core ideal that every single child matters, your decisions about how you fund schools, about the way that you work actively to close opportunity gaps, that is what tumbles out of that belief. Now, in more specific terms, you know, the disparities in our system are possibly countless. I'm very glad that there is now the Equity Collective as part of the Hamilton County Schools, where they're going to be studying that. You know, some of the time, I think when we talk about closing the opportunity gap, people get into a little bit of a turf war isn't the right thing, but you start worrying that you're going to somebody would be insulted because, well, this is the reality, but it's not my fault that it's that way, you know, whatever it might be. You got to leave that at the door, and you've got to just say, this is where we are. You know, we got into this position over 30 years. It's not going to be fixed in the next three. But if we set those goals in that strategic plan and we say this opportunity gap is inappropriate, it needs to change. I mean, one example that astounds me and makes me sad in District 6 is that students in Lookout Valley have almost no access to AP courses. That's inequitable in a couple of different ways. I don't believe that young students at Lookout Valley are any less likely to want to take AP than a student at Ottawa High School. But also, when we think about them having equitable opportunity in college. If they choose to go on to a four-year program, those AP courses often will be seen in a different light than, say, a dual enrollment mm-hmm. course would. Also, at least for my daughter, we've been told dual enrollment will cost $1,000 per class at UTC. That's a significant expense to my family. On the other end of the spectrum at Brown Academy, children come into those classrooms in kindergarten. Some of them don't know their colors. They don't know their letters. The teachers in those schools need different resources and supports than the teachers on Lookout Mountain who are dealing with different things within their community.
Yeah, and I think this gets into a lot of the cultural competency stuff, which I know there's been a lot of talk around how do we better train not only our teachers but people involved in the school system in cultural competency. So in full disclosure, my kids go to Brown, and my wife would volunteer. I mean, we were magnet parents, so we spent a good amount of time volunteering at Brown. And my wife, you know, within the first month, would go and just and volunteer in my son's classroom, kindergarten classroom, and would sit down with students and just go through the alphabet notebooks that they have, where they have to trace the letter, say the letter, sound it out. And she told me the story one time of a little girl who, when she got to the V is vacuum, and the little girl didn't know what it was. And my wife ended up asking her, like, oh, do you have a vacuum at home? And the little girl said no. Like, she had mm-hmm. never seen a vacuum.
Mm-hmm. We have assumptions.
Yeah. And I just, I mean, I, that for my wife, that was just, like, one of the biggest experiences of sort of the differences of people who live in Chattanooga and then some of the gaps that are there. Yeah.
We are, as a society, so far beyond an Ozzie and Harriet two-parent household with, you know, one parent who is at home, a Buick in the driveway, the mom that is on call to be room mom. That is not the reality for the vast number of Chattanoogans. And that doesn't mean that all those families are fractured. It means those families are different than this, really a false construct of what a family is in Hamilton County and maybe ever has been. Because let's face it, we all have our stuff, you know. When I think about equity and closing the opportunity gap, that cultural competency, Matt, that you mentioned, it's a nice phrase. Everybody's not just like us. So when we talk about tools in our toolkit to diversify our schools, things like the open enrollment idea or the Future Ready Institutes, which will allow students to move across zones, or magnet schools. All of those are fantastic, but we have to recognize that not everybody works first shift. Some people work second and third shift. some families barely see one another. And I've learned a lot about that at MetMen, because I've seen that poverty is so much more complicated. And, you know, even beyond poverty, middle class income life is very, very complicated. And just life in general, we've got to have grace for one another and be flexible and recognize that just because I can get to a parent-teacher conference at 5 o'clock at night doesn't mean that every other parent can get off work and go do that.
Well, you mentioned the Future Ready Institutes, and, you know, that's been a major initiative of Dr. Johnson so far. And so I just want to ask you, you know, what is your opinion of those in terms of how are those going to affect our high schools? How are those going to affect our students moving forward?
I am really excited about the Future Ready Institutes because, to me, it addresses two or three big things in Hamilton County all at one time. First of all, that fear that I mentioned that our graduates are not ready for what's next. People are still mourning the loss of Kirkman High School in District 6. Technical education is valuable, and for some students is the thing that's going to get them hooked into learning and encourage them to become a lifelong learner. So figuring out how to get technical education and that type of thinking back into our system is fantastic. I feel like it's the next generation of technical education. As a parent, I love it. I mean, my daughter's headed into ninth grade. We went to the fair to see all the different choices because my daughter is, she is a gifted student, and I was really interested in the IB program. You know, is that something that's worth figuring out how to get her all the way up to Signal Mountain to get her into that IB program? And we were able to talk it through as a family. Ultimately, she decided to stay where she is. But I love that any child anywhere in our system could make that decision to be in that type of learning environment. Conversely, she has some friends who were really debating about one of the healthcare opportunities at Hixson High School. I heard just recently about another child that was super excited about the Hospitality Future Ready Institute. Yeah. You know, these are things that if a child can find that hook to plug into, and then the way the Future Ready Institutes are set up to have that smaller learning community within our larger high schools, there's real potential for success there. Now, the third thing that is pretty great, that, you know, this is where that policymaker nerdy bit comes in, but where you've got to think about that other element is, we have concentrated poverty in a handful of schools in Hamilton County. And the data proves out that that is detrimental to the students in those schools. Now, nationally, they've done studies and seen that when you deconcentrate poverty, just because of the way that the resources end up being used in a school, not because low-income students are any less intelligent than students that have more income. That's not what it's really about. It's really about the way the school resources are taxed within those doors, that the middle-income students, when we deconcentrate poverty and mix our kids together more, everybody does great. Everybody does great. So something that I know as a practical person and as an American is we like to be the bosses of ourselves. Don't tell me what to do is a very common feeling in America. So the fact that a Future Ready Institute would cause a child and a parent to look together and say, it is totally worth it for us to figure out how we're going to, you know, change our afternoon routine so that you can go to school over in this, you know, if you're in Saudi Daisy and you want to go to Brainerd High School, you know, because you want to be in that aviation program. I mean, that's awesome. And I think that we will head toward that deconcentration of poverty in a very natural way, in the way that we have created really diverse schools with our successful magnet schools like Chattanooga School for the Arts and Sciences.
Well, we were talking about this earlier, but you know, I did an interview with Dr. Johnson back when he kind of first arrived in Hamilton County, and you know, we were talking. I was asking him about the challenges of HCDE, and he mentioned, you know, there are some real challenges out there. But there is a public perception problem within the school system because a lot of the negative stories get highlighted, whether that's failing test scores or discipline problems. And yet there are some amazing things happening across the board within Hamilton County Public Schools. And those stories too often just go unnoticed, unrecognized. And so, you know, as I'm doing these interviews, you know, I want to ask you as a representative of District 6, whether you're going to represent them as school board or not, you know, as somebody who is in District 6, you know, what could you share one success story of maybe a school or a principal or a teacher or something? Tell us something positive about what's happening in public education in District 6.
District 6 is fortunate to have some fantastic schools. And when we say fantastic, you know, that to me lines up a lot of things. You've got parent involvement. You've got a positive learning community. You have teachers who are able to really explore their curriculum fully. And you have students who, at the end of the day, are testing well on our state tests, which are a measure of their progress. One particular success that comes to mind that makes my jaw drop every time is the fact that Center for Creative Arts more than once has been named one of the best magnet schools in the nation. That's something that we should all be very proud of.
Well, Jenny, you know, as we're closing out this interview, is there anything else that maybe we didn't talk about that you're passionate about as part of your platform? Is there anything else you want the constituents of District 6 to know about you?
So, Matt, there's one thing we haven't talked about yet, and that's special education. Special education is something that, I'll be honest, wasn't front and center on my radar when I started this journey as a school board candidate. I have some friends who have children with Down syndrome, and so I knew that they had had struggles navigating our school system and the special ed system. Also, my best friend works in special ed as a speech therapist, and so I've heard a lot of the struggles from her about timing and reporting and so forth. So I've spent a lot of time learning more about special ed. And when we talk about equity, we didn't really touch on the fact that when we look at learning differences, we are required by law. There's a law called the IDEA law, Individuals with Disabilities Act, and it has been on the books for years, that requires school systems to make plans for students with special needs with a more than a, they have to be significantly lofty for that child. And what that says to me is every child's expectations need to be pushed when we talk about elevating them. It is critical to me that Hamilton County come into full compliance with the IDEA. What that's going to mean is that our children who for many years in Hamilton County have been sequestered in special ed classrooms actually need to come into our general education classrooms. And to make that a success, our general education teachers are going to need additional supports because curriculum will need to be tweaked. So the intent with IDEA is that a student does not have, you know, so say they have, we'll use Down syndrome as an example because I mentioned it before, they have Down syndrome. The intent is that they would still participate in the Civil War curriculum in fifth grade. It would be tweaked for them, but they would still be in that general education classroom. Now, general education teachers have a whole lot going on. So we're going to need to give them additional training and support, especially as it relates to behavior modification, because what we know is that behavior issues often are the reason why a special education child ultimately is recommended to be taken out of general ed and into a sequestered classroom. So there's got to be a mind shift and a willingness to work toward that and work through those hard things and make sure that our teachers have the supports that they need. I think it's just essential because going back to that idea that every child matters, children in our special education programs, whether they are in a learning disabled environment or they're in a highly gifted environment, they deserve to receive the best education that we can possibly provide to them. And we've got to make sure that we have fidelity of services. There's a lot of differences in services across our county, just based on the school and the given staff, and that there is accountability that those IEPs are actually being worked through.
Well, where can people find you and learn more about your platform? Where can they connect with you?
I have a website, votejennyhill.org, where you can see some of just the basics about me and the big ideas of my platform. You can also follow me on social media if you would like. Also at Vote Jenny Hill, that would be on Facebook and on Instagram. And I do occasionally Twitter, but not very often. That's not my favorite platform. Most importantly, though, now tomorrow is the beginning of early voting. And so what you've heard from me today is a whole lot more than you're going to read about me on my website. So I ask that you consider, please, voting for Jenny Hill. I'll be at the very bottom of the ballot. And your vote really does matter. So go ahead and get out there. My best friend actually missed an election because she went into labor early. So don't let that be you. Go ahead, put it on the calendar. You can even vote on Saturdays. It's open at Northgate Mall. It's open at the Election Commission. There's one in Collegedale, and there's one over in the Brainerd area. And you will see Jenny Hill signs at all of those locations. So
yeah, so we are recording this on July 12th. Early voting does open on July 13th. And then August 2nd is the big day. If you don't get out for early voting, please be out there August 2nd and voting for our local offices. Jenny, thank you so much for being here.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Matt.
Well, thank you so much to Jenny for taking time for this interview. Now, Ms. Hill is running for District 6 school board seat against Michael Henry, whose interview was released at the same time as this one. So please take time and listen to that interview as well, especially if you are a listener in downtown Chattanooga, which is a large portion of District 6. Now in the show notes of this episode, you will find links to the Hamilton County election website, a link to a map of Hamilton County Commission districts, which mirror the school board districts, as well as links to the websites for the candidate being interviewed. Thank you all for taking time to listen to these interviews, and please begin to share them with friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, really anyone you know in Chattanooga. We want all of our citizens to be more connected and informed this election season. Again, be sure to check out our episode with Michael Henry, as well as other interviews with candidates for County Mayor, County Commission, and Hamilton County School Board. And as a final reminder, get out and vote. Early voting is open right now as this episode is being released, and the big day is coming up on August 2nd. So get out and vote and tune in next time as we continue to introduce you to the men and women hoping to represent you in local government.